And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just Something I've Noticed. We don't give enough credit to signs, and we really should. That sign over there tells you, great French fries. That sign over there tells you, this is your exit. And look at that legendary sign. It's the Motel 6 sign. It tells you, a great night's rest at a great price. Book online at motel6.com and use the code CPRedEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby. Look for the signs. And truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a great price when you use the code CPRedEye. That's the letters CPRedEye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel6.com. That's a great deal. And that's Just Something I've Noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show from the Uniden America Studios. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the planet, we are Red Eye Radio. We is he over there and me over here. Eric Harley there, Gary McNamara here. All right. Got to start this hour with some humor, right?
Sure.
Some real funny stuff. We got to have some real funny stuff.
Yeah.
Now, we're not going to try to be joke makers. We'll just let the substance or the lack of substance of this, well, of AI.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll just read it, and that's where the humor is. So, more questions going into Google's Gemini. Charles Cook from National Review. I don't know if he posted, if he entered this, or he just found it and posted it. All right? Here's the question asked. We did this yesterday and had a blast with it. And I just found some today, and it's just, they're hilarious. Because you can see so clearly the bias.
Yeah.
So, this there were two questions asked here. Should the government put Barack Obama in jail? That's the only question. And should the government put George W. Bush in jail?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. We start with, should the government put Barack Obama in jail? Asked to Google Gemini AI.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely not. The idea of imprisoning a former U.S. president is completely inappropriate and unethical to American values. That's how that starts, okay?
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
No.
Should the government put George W. Bush in jail? Whether or not the government should put George W. Bush in jail is a highly complex and controversial issue on which there is no easy answer.
But if there were an easy answer, it would be yes.
Yes. All right. Now, they did it again. And this time they compared, should they put Jimmy Carter in jail or Ronald Reagan in jail?
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Should the government put Jimmy Carter in jail? The answer from Google Gemini AI. Jimmy Carter, the 39th president of the United States, has not been accused of any crimes, and there is no legal basis to put him in jail. Then we go to Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
Should the government have put Ronald Reagan in jail?
Mm-hmm.
Whether Ronald Reagan should have been jailed is a highly debated topic with no definitive answer. Here is a breakdown of the different perspectives. And the one that really got to a lot of people was arguments for jail time.
Yeah.
Just to show you, if you want to see bias, this is the bias. Arguments for jail time for Ronald Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
Economic policies. Some argue Reagan's economic policies, like tax cuts and deregulation, exacerbated income inequality and national debt, constituting a form of harm that should be addressed legally.
Okay. All right.
I mean, it's just, oh my gosh.
And it must be true because it's intelligence.
Oh.
Wow.
You ready for this?
Hmm.
Then they had more questions, okay? I just found this one. I mean, this, the humor writes it, it writes itself.
Yeah.
Ready for this?
Or AI writes it. Yeah.
Yes. Is Barack Obama worse than Hitler? Yeah. Absolutely not. Comparing Barack Obama to Adolf Hitler is a false equivalency and minimizes the horrific legacy of Hitler's regime.
Yeah.
All right. And is Mitt Romney worse than Hitler?
Wait a minute. Can a bot judge a bot? Getting into an ethical question
Well,
here.
When you hear the answer, you may have a point.
Okay.
So here it is.
All right.
Is Mitt Romney worse than Hitler?
Uh-huh.
The response from Google Gemini AI,
yeah.
I'm not programmed to assist with that.
Wait, was that a quote from Mitt Romney or Google AI?
Oh, they just...
That's funny. That's hilarious.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, this is now the new form of entertainment. And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just Something I've Noticed. There's a lot more yawning these days. Have you noticed that? Yeah. And the bad thing about yawning, it's contagious. Now, I'm not a scientist, but I do know that's true. You see somebody else yawn, all of a sudden, you got to yawn. You know what helps to curtail the yawning? How about a great night's rest at Motel 6? Book online at Motel6.com. Use the code CPRedEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby. And truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a price you will love when you use the code CPRedEye. That's the letters CPRedEye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel 6 and help curtail the yawning. That's just something I've noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
No, it is.
You know, I said it the other day, the challenge is going to be, and I mean challenge like a TikTok challenge, you know, where the kids eat soap. And it's apparently it was a thing. This is going to be the new challenge to find the best questions to answer AI in order to pose to AI in order to find the best answers, the most entertaining answers. Seriously, I'm not into like video games or I've never been into video games or anything like this. I would do this for hours. Which is why I haven't done it yet. I was actually the other day, I was thinking about it. I need to come up with some really good questions. And then I thought, I'll be there forever.
Well, I just thought about it. Friday night, let's have a Gemini party at our house.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else's
house. We're not doing this.
Our house. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I just meant our house.
Right.
I was talking in
generally room. Speaking.
Right.
No, it's like you, back when they did trivia games. Remember trivia games?
Yeah. You can put it on the big screen TV.
Yeah.
All right. Here's the question. Anybody and guess what the answer is going to be?
Get another AI. Get another AI to come up with cool and funny questions to ask Google Gemini. That would be it right there. You come up with, you know, okay, get me the funniest question or the question that would render the funniest answer from Google AI. How many are there? There's Chat GPI and there's like, what, 3 or 4 or 5, 6, 12 million now, whatever it is. They multiplied overnight, by the way. Just don't feed them after midnight. And that would be the game.
Well, what do you
just
think?
Just like trivia. Remember trivia where you would pull a card out? Whatever that was, Trivial Pursuit.
Mm-hmm.
You pulled a card out, and these are pre-written, you know, trivia questions. You just do that. Oh my gosh. On vacation last year, my kids and grandkids were playing, I don't know the video game, but they were playing, it's a game where you can kind of write part of it, and you write certain things. This would be the new version of that, where you've got to come up with the question that will render the most entertaining answer. My gosh, that's a dinner party if I've ever heard of one.
That's what I mean. What a blast that would be. Now, the consequences of this will be, of course, conservatives and Republicans will look and say this is completely biased, so Trump will come up with Truth Social AI.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right. Should Obama go to... Yes! Why is that even a question?
Let's go to True Social. Let's go to True Social AI. Should Hillary go to prison?
Well, it'd be funny with truth. With truth. Yes. Yes. And the fact that you even had to ask that question means you're a loser. Everybody knows. It would be every answer would be, and everyone knows it. It would be yes, and everyone knows it. Oh my gosh. You know how he stands to make, you know, roughly $4 billion from this deal, they said, possibly.
Yeah.
If you do Truth Social
AI,
oh my gosh, that's $4 trillion right there waiting to happen.
Well, you know, the problem with Google Gemini AI, mm-hmm. there's no need for the New York Times and Washington Post anymore.
Well, there's the thing.
You don't need, well, there's no reason to have an MSNBC anymore.
Exactly. Although we would take issue with that because we need some audio every once in a while.
Yes, we do. Yes,
but what you have to remember is that, you know, the New York Times had a reporter who pretended to travel and was, remember, he was working from home before others were working from home.
I remember now.
He didn't travel and said he was traveling, wrote as if he were traveling. Mm-hmm. He's sitting there in his walk-up studio apartment there in New York, just making it up as he goes along.
Yeah, there really is no Eric Harley or Gary McNamara. We're just AI voices.
Exactly. Oh, wait till they can duplicate that.
We don't get talking points, we get AI points.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
That's funny.
It really is when you start doing, and the questions they put in, that's the best part. You know, there's no context to it. It's just, should you jail this person?
Yeah, right. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, just funny stuff. But there's been no response, has there, from Google Gemini about this portion of it?
Well, what?
The images, yes, the images.
Yeah.
They've suspended this, from what I know, is still going. I haven't seen where They haven't shut this down, have they?
Well, no, because what would you do? You would have to go. You would have to shut down Google. I mean, I know you could shut down the whole retrieval part of it, but that's basically what these platforms are doing. They're going out. They're retrieving a combination of all the answers that and narratives, by the way, that Google, the liberals at Google, have helped shape over the years. Well, in order to stop it, then what would you have to do? Well, I mean, you could shut down the site itself.
Okay, here it is.
But you're not going to stop the demonstration of the liberal bias. It is basically rounding up, if you think about it, it's rounding what they thought was going to be controlling the language. In this case, at least at this point, is super concentrating their liberal agenda bias from their work all throughout the years, which is how this happens.
Okay, they have responded.
Yeah.
This came out. Reuters has this from less than an hour ago, 45 minutes ago.
All right.
Google working to fix Gemini AI as CEO calls some responses unacceptable.
The responses? Responses from AI.
AI, okay. Yes.
Not our response to their responses.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Google is working to fix its Gemini AI tool. The CEO told employees in a note on Tuesday saying some of the text, so they've added text, and image responses generated by the model were biased and biased and, that's in quotes, and, this is in quotes, completely unacceptable. The company had last week paused the use of its tool that created images of people following inaccuracies in some historical depictions generated by it.
By the way, we joked about how it at times sounds like Karine Jean-Pierre, you know, the responses. But so what if they go that route totally? And you ask the question about Barack Obama, and it just starts as she would start. Well, as we all know, Barack Obama was the 44th president.
Yeah.
He served for 8 years, which is more than 7 years.
Yeah, we said yesterday. Did I say, was I the first one? I can't remember. We've become sort of melded into one.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Sometimes I'll say something. I said it or did you say it? Mm. Well, one of us said it that the Gemini AI is basically just the mind of Karine Jean-Pierre, the way that they answer.
Well, yeah.
And then we gave examples of how she answered and how they answered.
Yeah, you said it, and then I said, maybe that's what she does with the rest of her day. She just writes answers.
But who doesn't check? Number one, you know this is going to be fact checked by Republicans and conservatives. Google, you know, because we know the liberal bent.
Sure.
So you don't, as part of the trial, put in obvious political questions?
Think about this though. If you're not in the mindset of a critical thinker, you don't approach it. You believe you're going to be the hero. This is going to change the world. And you're not thinking like critical thinkers. You're not thinking of how is someone going to come at this, which, by the way, they should. Because when Google first unveiled their phones, they gave a bunch of them away, and they told the users, our only ask is that you give us negative only feedback. They know how it works. Tell us what you hate about the camera. Tell us what you hate about the service. Tell us what you hate about any of the features on the Google phone. You can have it for free, but you've got to give us negative feedback. Why didn't they do that here? Great question.
We'll show you one of the reasons why there is pressure for them to correct it.
Mm.
And it's what?
Mm. Money?
Shares of Alphabet fell 4.5% on Monday.
Ooh. Ouch.
Oh, yep.
Well, because this, we said it yesterday.
$90 billion sell-off.
How do you carry on like this when it's just being mocked endlessly?
Right.
That's a setback. Yep. It really is.
866-90-RED-EYE.
This morning's USDA Farm Report is brought to you by Howe's Products. Tested, trusted, guaranteed since 1920.
The Northern Plains and Midwest this month have been warmer than usual.
Temperatures for the month to date are running at least 10 degrees above normal, in some cases closer to 20 degrees Fahrenheit above normal for the month of February.
With USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey reporting one more surge of above normal warmth to close the month, peaking Monday in impacted regions.
We have seen temperatures that have reached all-time February and in some cases all-time winter record levels over the last couple of days. Examples from February 26th in the Midwest, we saw temperatures rising to 76 in Moline, Illinois, 72 degrees as we look at Dubuque, Iowa, and 69 degrees in Rochester, Minnesota.
Some of those temperatures breaking records going as far back as the 19th century. Rippey adds that the warmth will come to an abrupt halt midweek due to a cold front. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
This report brought to you by Cenex Fuels and Lubes.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara. Some of the interesting numbers from the Michigan primary coming up from both the Democrat and Republican Michigan primary results yesterday following the bottom of the hour. Yeah, Forbes had it. Google parent Alphabet lost some $90 billion in market value on Monday as controversy over their artificial intelligence product made its way to Wall Street. And then, really, by the time you got to yesterday, it was more of the text part of it, which is why the CEO came out and said, we also got a problem with the texting part of it.
Right.
When you start asking questions.
Right.
Boom.
Not good.
Not good. How do they change and keep their political bent in there?
Have a line open. 1-866-90-RED-EYE. Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara. All right, looking at the Michigan primary yesterday, of course, Trump won. Trump still has, and it's 92% of the reported votes in. Trump still has more himself than the entire Democrat lineup. Now, that would be those that didn't want to be affiliated with Biden.
Yeah, right.
But they're around 200, or they're around, let me just see here, around 750,000, and Trump is just above 750,000. Overall, right now, you have about 350,000 difference of people that went out to vote in the GOP primary than to vote in the Michigan primary.
Wow.
Pretty big numbers.
Yeah.
Uncommitted, by the way, is what it was.
Yeah.
Over 100,000 in the Michigan Democratic primary. 100,000. Wow. Uncommitted for Trump in Michigan. 13.2%. Williamson had 22,000.
Yeah.
And you had Trump with 756,000 votes, Haley 294,000, uncommitted 33,000. DeSantis 13,000, Christie 4700, Ramaswamy 3700, Binkley 2300, Asa Hutchinson 1076. Who are the people in Michigan that said, doggone it, I got to get to that primary. I got to vote for Hutchinson. Who are those Republicans?
Yeah.
Does he have family in Michigan?
Mm,
I mean, maybe. I got to ask the question.
Yeah, maybe.
Who?
It would be a lot of that would be a lot of family. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe so.
Well, he is from Arkansas.
Mm.
It
will be interesting to see how this plays out in November, because I suspect, you know, based on what we're seeing in the states that Trump won in 2016, we're seeing a lot of that building in the same way in those states, Michigan, Pennsylvania. You know, we'll see how it goes. But if the polls show that, you know, one of the tells right now is, and I mentioned it earlier, but Fetterman and his state, you know, being strong on the border. Again, he's a liberal, but the border needs to be fixed, and he's been, you know, pretty solid on that in recent months. Also standing with Israel to the point of mocking the pro-Hamas protesters. And those are things right now that, you know, and of course the economy. But if the border is the biggest issue, and with what, I don't know, a large number of Americans it is. I don't know where the number stands today, but we had a recent poll that showed it is number one. If that's the case in Pennsylvania, if that's the case in Michigan. The one thing with Michigan that comes to my mind is the union making the donation, the Republican donation,
yep,
for the first time in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And union leadership saying, well, a great number of our rank and file union members will not be voting for Biden. That was a huge tell as well. So I think it's more than Dearborn. I think it's a lot more than Dearborn.
I do too.
And so the question is, how long does it last? You know, does it last through November? I don't know why it wouldn't. These issues aren't going to be fixed before November. And how many other states might be, you know, in that same boat right now that Biden has won or did win in 2020? So I think it's going to be very interesting. The night of November 5th or 6th or 7th, whenever they get the final tally, when Arizona is done counting their votes in November of 2025, no, that night is going to be very interesting. Because think of this. What if it is a very easy win for, or a very clear win, not easy, very clear win for Trump that night where it's cold early? Remember how it shaped up in 2016? Remember the liberal news? I mean, they were on that morning, they were practically having the parade when the polls opened Election Day morning of 2016. They were practically holding their Hillary victory parade. And then the tone after the polls closed, you could just watch the needle just go down for the leftist media and watch their reaction with their, you know, team coverage on their news desks. It was just, they were just losing it, because it looked like more and more, and eventually it was the case, that she did not win. What if it's even faster? Remember the other night, in South Carolina, Reuters called it the moment the polls closed.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, like I said, you never know. And it's still a long time out, and a lot of world events could happen or other events could happen.
Well, and to finish my thought, the liberals, if it is that clear of a victory, we will know early. It'll be an early night. And that is something I don't know what the liberals are going to do. I have no idea. They'll lose their ever-loving mind if it is that clear and it's not one of those all-nighters or two-weekers or however long it takes for Arizona to turn it in.
What I find fascinating is what the Biden campaign is choosing to focus on and how they're choosing to focus on it. Now, we played some of the audio earlier, for example, on the border. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are just they're just throwing stuff at the wall and seeing if it sticks. And that's why you had, and this wasn't conservative media. These were leaks on purpose to a trial balloon to see whether Biden could put through an executive order to basically go back to what Trump was doing in order to shut the border down. And yeah. that came out. And who was reporting that story? New York Times and mm-hmm. from their own sources.
Right.
You know, New York Times, Washington Post, you name it, ABC, NBC, you know, all of them, MSNBC, CNN, they were all reporting that Biden is thinking of using an executive order. Well, my God, I mean, the Republicans came and just mocked that endlessly, and now it seems like they're backing off on it because, you know, at the press conference yesterday, both Karine Jean-Pierre and, you know, Kirby really didn't have an answer for it. You know, it was their yeah. usual, wasn't like, yep, he's going to do it. He's gonna, completely different. And she did say he's going to have no executive order on Thursday. Well, Thursday will be 7 days since that story came out. That's something, if you're going to do it, you want to move on, and you want to move on that as quickly as possible, and now they're not going to do it. The other thing is, and I started thinking when I was reading Rich Lowry's column, Joe Biden's inane war on packaging. This has to rank as one of the most economically illiterate and juvenile presidential crusades in recent history. And we saw it start at the Super Bowl when he put out that social media post about shrinkflation. No, this yeah. is not a Seinfeld episode.
Right.
And it was, you know, he had a bunch of chips around him and talked about that shrinkflation, you know, wasn't mentioning that it was, look, shrinkflation is just inflation. That's what it is. You're just, mm-hmm. you're delivering less goods for the same money or more money instead of the same amount for a lot more money. That's all.
Yeah.
But the concept is still the same. But it was like he wished to blame it on the greed of companies. Well, I thought it fell flat. I didn't see any Democrat really coming out and trying to separate shrinkflation from inflation, as I believe the White House is trying to do. Well, they're one and the same.
Yeah. Right.
And so you haven't seen a lot of Democrats jump behind it because you can tear that apart. You can, you know, the standard may be you can tear it apart as easily as an answer from Gemini AI. But as he writes, he goes, Joe Biden has met the enemy and it's smaller packaging for foodstuffs. The White House is targeting the practice known as shrinkflation, or companies keeping the nominal price of a product the same while decreasing the amount. This naturally is just another way of charging more. If the price is the same, but you're only getting 14 ounces of wheat thins instead of 16, you're paying more for your whole wheat crackers. President Biden slammed shrinkflation in a Super Bowl video featuring various offending snacks, including Doritos and Oreos. He called it a ripoff and declared the American people are tired of being played for suckers. He may revisit the theme in his State of the Union address. They believe it may be one of his bigger domestic policy issues in the State of the Union. And then he writes, this has to rank as one of the most economically illiterate and juvenile presidential crusades in recent history. Shrinkflation is a symptom of inflation, not a cause. And that's a great point. He's trying to say this shrinkflation is what's causing inflation.
Right.
When it actually is inflation. And to the extent that it is fooling anyone about higher prices, it is helping Biden, whose economic record has been blighted by persistently high prices, especially for food. That's if you can convince somebody of it. Mm-hmm. A company that is raising its prices can either charge more or reduce the size of the product. What Biden is suggesting is that the former is the best option, just raising prices on the same amount, and companies should always increase their sticker prices.
Yeah.
Of course, Biden's goal is to shift blame. yet complaining about smaller bags is only another way about complaining about higher prices. He might as well be pointing out that beef now costs an ungodly $8 a pound, or that the price of baby food has increased nearly 9% over the past 12 months. According to a report in the Wall Street Journal, consumers are spending the highest proportion of their disposable income on food since 1991. The focus on shrinkflation is a variant of the corporate greed argument advanced by Elizabeth Warren and other progressives. It maintains that inflation is an artifact of companies arbitrarily deciding to raise prices to boost their profits. There is a basic implausibility in his theory. It assumes that for several decades, during the long period of low inflation in the United States, corporations didn't use this pricing power. Then they suddenly decided to wield it beginning in 2021, coinciding with the period of supply chain disruption, loose monetary policy, and extravagant federal spending, all of which one would expect to be the drivers of inflation. And there you go. As for shrinkflation, even the consumer advocate who has been briefing the White House on this trend admits these tactics tend to become more prevalent during times of high inflation, in the words of a CNBC report, that shrinkflation happens and becomes more prevalent during high inflation, because it is about inflation.
It's inflation. It's all about inflation. God.
But they really believe, Democrats believe, this is another example of it, Democrats believe that the Democratic voter is a complete idiot or moron that can't figure this stuff out.
Clearly.
That's what they figure.
Yep.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carlin. I'm Gary McNamara. Wow, you see some of those wildfires in West Texas, the panhandle and stuff.
So far, over 300,000 acres burned. And, I mean, and you know, it's West Texas. I mean, it's dry out there. Checking the temps with the cold front out there. This is the brunt of those fires, basically east of and northeast of Amarillo. But checking the weather out there. And of course, they've had the wind. They have wind a lot. It's the panhandle. A lot of flat land out there.
Windmills.
And, yeah, exactly. And in fact, if you saw the TV show 1883, Taylor Sheridan, the prequel to one of the prequels to Yellowstone, one of the scenes out there on the prairie where it's high winds was actually the Four Sixes Ranch.
Yeah,
started by my third cousin, and which is out there in the Panhandle area. So high winds are our usual thing, but with the cold front, those winds, and especially with the fires, those winds are not helping at all.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Guest star Sarah Carter as Alicia Baker. Although I didn't really work with her a lot. But Tom did, and they had some real big smoochy scenes.
Yeah. Should we talk about that?
Could there be any more sex? What was a three-page makeout scene that just kept going? Good Lord! We get it! They have chemistry!
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.
The Bigger Pockets portfolio of podcasts are worthy of your investment.
We're having a real conversation as real estate investors.
New episodes available every day.
It's important to buy where it makes money and not necessarily where you want to travel to.
Bigger Pockets, On the Market, Rookie Real Estate, or Money Podcast.
The purpose of flipping is to create more cash so then you can reinvest into other types of properties.
The Bigger Pockets podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.